You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Went to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We're fired up for some football this evening, man. We got the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons on the board. There's been a ton of line movement. The Atlanta Falcons are now 2.5-point favorites in this football game. The Saints were 2-point favorites a couple of days ago. 4.5-point swing, and it might even get to 3. If it doesn't, we'll be buying a 0.5-point. We like the New Orleans Saints. Thank you. See you later. I guess you can change the channel now. No. We've got a lot of props and other picks for you. We've got some expert opinion going to be joining us on the program. Ted Savransky joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Paul Bovey joins from Los Angeles, California. Joe Lisi joins us from New York City. We're talking NFL football. We're talking Army, Navy. We're talking college football. And that's it, man. We're talking football, all right? I do have a couple of – I've got one basketball pick for you. Football today. NFL football, Army, Navy. All right? And I have some thoughts on the Olympics as well. We should note Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns have fired their general manager, Sashi Brown. That's right, the GM of the Cleveland Browns. Last name was Brown. I think that's something that wasn't discussed enough, actually, man, this year. It's kind of because the headline kind of threw me off. You know, Browns fired Brown. I was like, what, would they fire themselves? Like, what? Like, you should. It's interesting, too, because if you look at the back of his jersey. Brown. Jim Brown. That's what Cam said to me this morning. He looked at me. He goes, that's a nice jersey. He goes, you believe that it's his name's Jim Brown? He played for the Browns. I like when some kid twerp out there. So how can I take this guy's pick seriously? He's wearing a Cleveland Brown jersey. Yeah, I told the kid, you know, why don't you do a little research and you know, go suck on mom's nipple and shut the hell up. All right, why don't you look up who the hell Jim Brown is? It's not a Cleveland Brown jersey. It's a Jim Brown jersey. But nevertheless, all right. Football and nipple. Okay. This is what we call the rage of the day. Let's jump in right now as the Winter Olympics are rapidly approaching. And to state that there's problems, that's like saying Kim Jong-un short. All right? Yeah. It's an understatement. We've got problems. First off, NHL players not going to the Olympics because Gary Bettman is a twerp. All right? I would say worse, but Gary Bettman's a tool. Can I say that? Yes. Twerp and tool. I have another T word, actually. Rhymes with SWAT. Rhymes with SWAT. Gary Bettman's a SWAT. So the players wanted to go. So when the players aren't in the Olympics this year, don't say to yourself and tell your buddies, these greedy players, they didn't want to go. They wanted to go. And I'll tell you what, don't think also in the old days it was different. My grandfather played on the 1936 Team Canada Olympic hockey team. And a lot of guys didn't play because they wanted to get paid. So it's funny. You know, in the old days, man, they used to play for the medal. Yeah, I don't know, man. My grandfather played in 1936, and he told me that, like, 7 guys didn't go because they didn't get paid. I like the other one. In the old days, they didn't hit each other over the head with sticks. My grandfather told me, oh, yeah, we used to kill each other. Like, it was bloodbath. Like, we used to hit each other over the back all the time. He goes, there's no cameras. No one, you know. It was word of mouth, right? Like people, the old days, this, nothing's ever changed. All right, so, yes, problem number one with the Olympics, no hockey. There's hockey, but I don't even have a problem with that, all right? I don't have a problem with that. I grew up, like, loving Olympic hockey. The Miracle on Ice didn't have pro players. We don't need pro players to make it, but the problem is I don't like how the pro players in the NHL decides to play when it's in Vancouver and they can make a lot of money. Or when they can make a lot of money in Salt Lake, but they don't want to play when it's not convenient for them because of the time zone difference. All right, Russia, Olympics. Russia's been banned from the Olympics as a whole. Are you freaking kidding me? You know, are you kidding me? I remember when the Olympics were in Russia, you guys were complaining about the gay rights crap in Russia. All right? I'm all for gay rights. I don't care, man. Get married. Sleep with whoever the hell you want to sleep with. I got my own problems to worry about. But I find it pretty hypocritical that I remember everyone in the States freaking out about, oh, we got to boycott the Russian games because of Putin and the gay rights aren't great there. I don't know. Russia have the exact same laws as 12 U.S. states do. Russia says you can't promote homosexuality in an elementary school, just like the state of Utah. The Olympics were in Utah. Should we boycott Utah? So Russia's banned because a couple of athletes cheated. So should we kick out the United States Olympic team because their gymnastics coach is a pedophile? Just got 60 years in jail. Why don't we shut down the U.S. gymnastics program? No, we're not going to do that, though, are we? No. Let's kick all of Russia out, though. Let's all of them. Every athlete in Russia is a cheater. They're all out arbitrarily, just like that. It's political. This is political. The Olympics are not supposed to be political, okay? Bothers me. Nikki Haley. You know who Nikki Haley is? I know Cameron 2 Drew does not know who Nikki Haley is. As I repeat, Cameron 2 Drew. He just yelled through the glass there, Sarah Palin's sister. I don't really see, like, how the hell. Good job by McCormick. We got a picture. She's the ambassador to the United Nations, Drew. She was the governor of South Carolina. So Nikki Haley, now the ambassador to the United Nations, she says that the United States might not go to the Olympics now because they're in South Korea, and because it's too close to North Korea, it might be too dangerous to go. Whatever happened to, we're not going to kowtow to terrorists, and we're not going to change our way of life. What, because some little pipsqueak twerk there in North Korea has got a missile? We're going to shut down the Olympics now? I'm so sick of society and the people that run it. It's like, really? If I didn't have so many skeletons and dead bodies in my closet, I'd run for office. But I got too many things I don't want out there. It's a freaking circus, man. You know, it's too bad. I love the Olympics. Like I said, growing up, you know, I idolized the Olympics. I still do. I love the athletes, the competition. The Olympics are supposed to be about the athletes and supposed to be about the world coming together. You know, less people get killed during the Olympics. There's actually truces during the Olympics. The Olympics have brought people together over the course of history. Now the only people they bring together are corporate sponsors, television executives, and pedophile gymnastic coaches and cheating Russians. Like, the whole thing is just so sick. Nobody even wants to host the damn Olympics anymore because it's too expensive. The security apparatus is over the top. I'm from Montreal. We're still paying for the Olympics from 1976. The Olympic Stadium, the most expensive stadium in the history of the world, and we lost the damn baseball team because people didn't like the stadium. Ugh, I digress, man. But at this rate, you know, I don't know. What's the future of the Olympics? Nobody wants to host it anymore. That's why it's in Asia all the time, because Asia is the only country with any money left, or continent with any money left right now. But unfortunately, listen, the Olympic Games are going to be great once they start, and the competition is first rate, and the dreams and all that other crap that comes along with athletics is great, and I'm still going to eat it up. But as far as, you know, just digesting all of this, it's been bastardized, man, like everything else in this world. Like our beautiful rainforest, like our oceans and the land that we live on. Everything that we freaking touch, we ruin, including the Olympics. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gable Morency. Let's send it to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Off the Strip, Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. Ted Savransky, a.k.a. Teddy Cover, steps up and in. Teddy, always a pleasure, Teddy. What's going on?
Morency, what's a good word? Yeah, this is an off-strip joint, dude. You know, you don't have to pay parking when you bet at my sportsbook.
Yeah, that's the new thing, parking, huh? You got to pay parking at casinos right now. Yeah, I hear your Ted Sportsbook and Casino Super Bowl party. High roller VIP invite only, huh?
note the key there. Invite only.
Yes. Yeah, invite only. Just like a lot of the parties in Vegas I didn't get invited to at the Super Bowl. Remember, like, yelling at the guy at the Strat. I'm like, dude, I probably spent about $400,000 here betting on sports in the last 6 months. You don't even invite me to your party. Basically told me, we don't like you. I was like, yeah, at least you're honest about it. All right. All right, Teddy. So I'm fired up for the football game tonight, actually, solely from a betting perspective. No fandom. You like my angle here. No fandom. But I'm ready
to
attack this game and make some money. I'll tell you, I don't understand the line movement. I don't get it. I like the Saints in this game, and the line just keeps moving the other way every time I hit refresh. It's 2.5 right now.
Yeah, 2.5 with juice at a lot of places. But beware the Saints injury report. That's what's driving the number so far today. The wise guys are betting the you-know-what out of Atlanta because New Orleans has some serious injury situations. Their secondary banged up with Lattimore. Their offensive line a big concern for tonight's game as well when it comes to the injury situation for New Orleans. And, of course, we are talking about a hot team heading on the road on a short week against an opponent that basically, I mean, the Falcons, let's be honest, they're playing for their season tonight. Atlanta loses this game. You know, it's an uphill battle to get a wild card spot for the Falcons. So it's the Saints injuries and the spot for Atlanta have certainly driven the point spread. And this has been a flip. You know, the first money came in on New Orleans. Atlanta opened 2 and got immediately bet to New Orleans -1.5, -2. And now today we've seen the markets move significantly in the other direction. It's a lot of money, and it's all coming on Atlanta. And again, that's wise guy money. That's not public money. Although if you've been following the wise guys for the better part of the last 2 months, then you haven't done too well in the NFL.
No, it's always tough knowing exactly who's going to play and not going to play. I'm not a team doctor, and all I can do is what I read. But from what I understand, Lattimore's back. He's been practicing. Now, is he going to be 100%? I don't know. But he is back. He's been practicing. They got Marcus Williams back in the secondary as well. The O-line banged up. That is a little bit of a concern. But I look at this, Teddy, and I get it. I can't disagree. You know, people looking at Atlanta and saying, this is it, this is it. It's not as if, though, New Orleans can take the pedal off the metal either. I mean, they play the Falcons again, actually. I mean, you know, the Falcons 7-5 can turn into 9-5, and the Saints can turn 9-3, can turn into 9-5 pretty fast. When you've got the Eagles winning, you know, you've got the Rams winning football games, the Seahawks are lingering, et cetera. You know, and in a division, the Panthers, there's no room for error for the Saints either, really. So I get the arguments, you know, I get the arguments for the Falcons, but I think the Saints come in a hungry and focused football team. I think they sort of had that stumble a couple of weeks ago with the Rams.
Yeah, I worry about the short week. And let's be honest, all right? If you've been handicapping Thursday night NFL this year, there's only one thing that's worked, all right? If you're trying to break down the teams and breaking down the, you know, home or road and who's got the travel issue, the only thing that's worked is betting against the money, okay? If you bet against the money consistently on Thursday nights, you've won.
So when you say
well,
bet against
New Orleans money, now there's a bunch of Atlanta money. There's no money to bet against.
Bet against the line movement, you're saying. So wherever, like, follow the money and bet against it, right? So as of right now, that would mean bet on the Saints, wouldn't it, with all this movement?
As of this moment, yes. But again, remember, the line opened 2. Atlanta 2. So we have seen, like, it's flipped across 0. But basically, we've seen the equivalent of a 3.5-point line move towards the Falcons over the course of the last 24 hours. That's significant. And if you look, again, I mean, there's no science to it. You know, it's all art here. You just bet against, the line move and you cashed in on Thursday night. It's been a fairly consistent moneymaker, including last week with all the money coming in on the Redskins in a game that they were never in at Dallas.
Yesterday, me and Cam looked at the covers consensus in the NBA, and we faded it pretty much in every game and killed it. I loved it. It was like, you know, 80% on the Pacers. I was like, good, take the Bulls. You know, say 69% on the Celtics. Good, I like the Mavericks. It was, and they all cashed. It was one of those deals. Yay! Except for the damn Clipper game. I pushed my luck. God, they're bad. But anyways, you know, as you write in your power rankings, you can read some interesting tidbits on each and every National Football League team and Ted Savransky's power ratings on a weekly basis over at Covers Experts. Just go to Teddy's page And as you're right, Teddy, Drew Brees has the single highest completion percentage of his career and the lowest single interception percentage. And it's funny, his stats are down, but they're so freaking lethal because they run the football. And then even when you get him in a third and six, third and seven, you're like, oh, it's a big success. We got him in third and long. It's still Drew Brees. He just throws a bullet to Michael Thomas. And Michael Thomas's numbers aren't what fantasy players would like for a number one wide receiver. You know, only three touchdowns on the season, but consistently five, six, seven catches, big catches, not the sexy bombs and stuff, but those first downs. I had money on Carolina last week. There were a couple of times we had them, and boom, Brees just throws these darts, man, to Michael Thomas, and they were all over him. And Thomas, I thought, had a hard time adjusting to the double teams and life as being a number one guy, but he's starting to get it right now. He is the real deal. Big body, great hands. They're a dangerous football team, Teddy. I mean, you know, Kamara and Ingram have rushed for 1,243 yards in the last five games and 13 freaking touchdowns. It's insane.
The Saints are going to the Super Bowl, dude. They're not a good team. The Saints are the best team in the NFC. All right. I like the Saints' chances in January against Philadelphia.
They match up with anybody, don't they?
The Eagles?
Yeah.
I like the way they match up with the Rams. No question. Seattle, you know, I think they can beat Seattle. I think the Saints can beat anybody in the NFC. Flat out. I mean, Minnesota might be their toughest one.
Yeah.
Their toughest matchup just because of the versatility of that Vikings defense. But I'm a Saints believer. That doesn't mean I like them tonight. You know, and this is where, of course, this show is on the Fantasy Network. Everyone's interested in fantasy. You know, Drew Brees' numbers are down from a fantasy perspective. From a team perspective, Drew Brees is as good as any quarterback in the NFL this year, period.
Yeah.
Okay, so his numbers aren't as ridiculous as they've been. Drew Brees is better this year with that running game. But you also have issues with Ingram. Ingram missed practice on Tuesday and Wednesday. There was some talk that he was going to miss the game tonight. He's got a bad toe. I worry about Kamara if he has to handle the entire workload by himself. Kamara's a great back when you give him 15, 20 carries. At 30 carries, I don't think he's anywhere near the same type of running back. Things haven't had to do that all year. And if Ingram isn't good enough to go today, again, a banged up offensive line and a banged up running game, that's not what Drew Brees needs on a short week.
What do you make quickly on this, and we'll move on to the Eagles and a Rams game. What do you make of the total? Also some move here from 53 down to 51.5.
I could only take the over.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really worried about that Saints offensive line tonight. Multiple reports said that I was reading earlier this morning said that there's stuff to be worried about there. But when we're talking about New Orleans offense and Atlanta's offense, these two teams get going, you could have 51 points and a half.
It seems, yeah, exactly. I know. You know what? I know you're not a huge teaser guy, but me and Cam talked about this on the radio show. Hard not to take a look at the Saints plus 9.5 over 44.5, Teddy. I think that's a nice play right there.
Again, I'm not a fan of betting teasers on totals. Okay. Teasers
yeah.
matter most. The 6 points you're getting matter the most, or the 7 points if you want to pay for it, matter the most when totals are low.
Yeah.
This is the highest total. Is this the highest total game of the week in the NFL? It's certainly one of them, if it's not the highest total game. Therefore, your 6 points are worth slightly less. It certainly fits into the basic criteria. You know, you're talking about, basic strategy for teasers. You want to tease your dogs that are 2.5. Through the key number of 3, through the key number of 4, through the key number of 6, and through the key number of 7. It fits into basic strategy in that regard, but 6 points isn't worth as much in a game where the total's 53 or 51 or whatever it is as it is in a game where the total's 38, like there are a handful of in the NFL this weekend, for whatever that's worth.
I like teasers better as well. It's tough because essentially when you're doing a same-game teaser, you're playing a two-game parlay at minus money. that's what you're doing. That's the reality of it. Yeah, it's a different number, but you have a two-team parlay at minus money suddenly. So, you know, it's tough when you do it. I agree, and also, Teddy, I think you're better off with teasers in different games with the underdogs as opposed to trying to force it on one game with the total. And the total numbers aren't as sharp as the side ones are, too. There'll be a discrepancy, and you could lose. But, you know, if you tease, you know, one team and then another team and you're more patient, I think the teasers can come into play here. All right, so Eagles and Rams, Teddy. Eagles and Rams. So it sounds like the last thing on this. So it sounds like you're kind of torn on this game. You're leaning with the Falcons a little bit, aren't you?
I'm not playing it, dude. I'm not. Let's put it this way. I don't trust Atlanta enough not to play Atlanta.
And as you write, Sarkisian and these guys averaging 11 less points a game this year.
Well, it's not just 11 less points per game. Yards per play down a full half yard. Same offense. Basically, Atlanta returned everybody from last year that hasn't been injury riddled. It's not an injury situation.
Yep.
It's the same personnel and a different offense coordinator. Points down per game, 11. Yards down per game, 0.6 per play. You know, more than half yard per play worse than they were last year. Sarkisian's not as good. I mean, flat out, Sarkisian's not as good. I was amazed that he got that job, and I'll be amazed if he holds it because I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta goes in a different direction in the offseason, especially if they lose tonight and then don't end up making the playoffs.
The Philadelphia Eagles are 9-1, but Eagle fans, my boy Big Man on campus, hates Doug Peterson all the time. And I'm like, dude, you're 9-1. Chill out. Yet, you know, there's always that concern about Peterson. And as you wrote in your power rating, sources in the Philly were concerned about how to coach Doug Peterson freezing up. Yeah, that was the definition of freezing up when you don't challenge a freaking illegal forward pass when the quarterback's scrambling in the middle of the field. And as a whole, not just Peterson, but let's be real, Teddy, the Eagles have played a pretty soft schedule. You know, they played a couple of tough games earlier in the year at KC in week two. They survived the Chargers by 2 points, but there's been a lot of Denver, San Francisco's, and Chicago's, on the docket over the last month or so. Never really played in a close game. They play against a good team, and they fell apart against the Seattle Seahawks. Now they get the Rams. They've stayed in Los Angeles all week, practiced where the Angels play at Anaheim Angel Stadium there. So they've stayed on the West Coast all week. Rams, this line really hasn't moved all week at all. 2.5, 48, Teddy. What's your take on this game? Were the Eagles exposed, or is that just a speed bump?
I think it was a speed bump. I think Philly is good. I think Philly's really good. But you talked about the issue with the coaching staff. And I had a play on the over last Sunday night, okay? Thinking, the Seahawks are minus 2 potential Hall of Famers in their secondary. Philly's got this great downfield passing game. Maybe they'll use it. The game plan in that first half was as, and again, you don't want to overemphasize on one game and one loss wager, but that was a bonehead game plan.
Yeah.
And that's all on the coaching staff. They were scared of Seattle, and it showed. Now they have a week in L.A. And of course, don't underestimate the issues with the fires, particularly for the Rams. Their practice schedule has been disrupted. The game schedule may be disrupted. Their home lives have been disrupted. This is a major fire event throughout Los Angeles. Everybody's affected. All right. Although in the stuff I was reading today, looks like the Rams more affected than the Chargers for what it's worth. But I'm an LA believer. I firmly believe that in that team. I know the loss earlier in the season in Seattle at home. You put 7 asterisks on that loss. They were the better team that day. They turned the ball over. When you see the games the Rams are losing, it's been turnovers. Sean McVay's impressed me a lot more than Doug Peterson. Let's put it this way. Rams or nothing for this better.
All right, Teddy, I know you got to get out of here, so we got like 2 minutes. Instead of NFL, I'll throw Army-Navy at you. We're seeing a lot of talk about 11 straight unders. So, hey, man, everybody's going to be betting the under in this game. Anyone that reads any gambling site, from Covers to Vegas Insider to Sportsbook Review to Odd Chart, you name them, everyone's going to be talking about this 11 straight unders, Teddy. I'm interested. It's a fun game. Normally this game is, you know, they sell you on the tradition and stuff, and it is what it is. As Donald Trump said, not the best quality football, but glad to be here. but Army's had a nice year. Commander-in-Chief Trophy is on the line. It's not often it's on the line in this football game. Army haven't won. They beat them last year for the first time in 14 years. They haven't won the Commander-in-Chief Trophy since 1996. So, you know, Army's bringing in this game. They're getting points quickly, Teddy, because I know you got to get out of here. So I'll give you the floor, and then we'll get out of here. Army,
no,
Navy.
Good, man. I still got like 3 minutes. Man.
Three minutes.
All kinds of time over here, buddy. But and certainly enough to break down Army-Navy from a betting standpoint. Look, this is the best Army team, I don't even know, the last decade, last 2 decades. It's as good as any Army team as I've seen since I've been in Las Vegas, period. All right, they had a better record than Navy this year. They haven't won the Commander-in-Chief trophy since the 1960s, I think it was.
1960s. Yeah.
So it's certainly a game that Army's got triple, quadruple circled on their calendar. Navy comes in. They've been struggling down the stretch. They've had quarterback injuries. And they lost to Army last year, an Army team that wasn't as good as this year's squad. So you can certainly make a case for the Black Knights in that regard. The problem with Army is that if they fall behind, I mean, that passing game doesn't exist. You know, Navy can throw the football. Army can't, flat out. And when you look at the strength of schedules, you know, huge difference between these two teams. Navy faced decent competition. Army, not so much. So I lean towards the Black Knights. I wouldn't be surprised. Again, they're ready for a Commander-in-Chief's trophy. The program's there. Lean in their direction, but not anything that I'm super excited about pulling the trigger on. This isn't a, you know, back up the Brinks truck up to the betting window to get involved. From a total standpoint, look, if you like the under, you should have bet it 2 days ago, literally, because right now you're getting one guaranteed way to lose betting on football is making your bets after everyone else has already made them and getting the worst of the number over and over again. This total's moved, what, like 5.5 points down already? Great if you like the under and you got down. If you're just thinking about it now, you're a little bit late to the party.
Ted Savransky can watch his videos on a daily basis over at the SBR YouTube page called Sports Pit. It's right there on the video page. You can find Teddy over at CoversExpertSportsMemo.com. And right here, every Thursday with us on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers. Always a pleasure, guys.
Ted Savransky with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. What do we got next? Paul Bovey. We got Paul Bovey and we got Joe Lisi. Always a pleasure talking college football, Gabe. We got some massive games. Joe Lisi is going to join us. And more. My picks. We're feeling it. I'm going to bet a lot of money tonight. I'm either going to be in a really good mood tomorrow morning or really bad.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Ted Savransky for joining us on the program. A man that the guest that joins us right now, I know, knows well. It's pretty crazy. Like, all of our guests live in different cities and stuff, and we all pretty much know each other. You know, I think almost everyone has met everyone. Paul, welcome to the program. Paul Bowie, VegasInsider.com. But you and Teddy go way back. Me and Teddy go way back. But you, me, and Teddy have never hung out before.
I got to tell you what I did to Teddy last year. I feel terrible. So we go to this Tuesday meeting, which has since been discontinued, unfortunately.
And oh, the Tuesday group.
Handicappers in Vegas.
Yeah, the Tuesday group. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Teddy comes out and has a huge money line call on the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. So around the third quarter, I text Teddy. I'm like, Teddy, great call on that game. And, of course, Teddy chastises me for congratulating him early, and it was the one and only time I did this, and boy, did I pay the price, and Teddy never lets me forget.
You mushed him.
I mushed him. I did. I mushed him. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of criticizing, of doing the same thing I criticize other people for, so I'm sorry, Teddy, if you're listening. I'm sorry again.
It bothers me, too, but Malinsky brought this up the other day, stating it doesn't have any it doesn't have any bearing and stuff, but happened to me the other night. Guys in the chat over at SBR, I was doing a show. We had a total that was sailing over, and everybody, great call, Morency. I hammered it. Thanks. And I said to them, I said, guys, there's still 6 minutes left. We're not there yet. Oh, no, it's going to get there. It didn't get there. It fell short. Like, I was pissed. I told them after. I didn't blame them for causing it, but I said, guys, it's a win's not a win until it's a win, Paul. It's as simple as that, man.
There are some who will say that it does cause it, that it there's some extraneous factors.
And the cosmicness of it, yeah.
Yes, that causes those kinds of situations. So, anyway.
So, do you believe that? Like, so when a pitcher, like, the got the no-hitter, if the guy says, I don't know. It seems to happen a lot, doesn't it, when you hear the announcer say, this guy is 13 of 13 from field goals, 44 yards are in, and then he misses inevitably. It happens all the time.
It's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies where when it happens, you take note of it. When it doesn't happen, it just flies by and you don't even pay any attention to it.
Yeah, it's like polls, politicians' polls. Polls don't matter unless you're doing good in them, right? If you're doing good in them, that's just a poll. You know, if you're doing bad, that poll doesn't mean anything. Okay, so speaking of polls, the Atlanta Falcons are trending upwards right now with the voters because, aka the bettors, a lot of line movement here, Paul. I don't really get this. Why does everyone love the Falcons so much? It's 2.5 right now.
I don't get it, Gabe. I think New Orleans is a much better team, as you know. I was on the show last week, had a play on the Vikings, and the Vikings came through for us.
Yep.
And I don't see Atlanta as having played more than two games this year where they really impressed me. And the first one was the second game of the season against Green Bay. They had a 34-10 lead, eventually won it 34-23, a couple garbage touchdowns by Rodgers and company. And the next one was the Cowboy game. And, of course, Teron Smith was out, and they sacked Prescott 8 times en route to a 27-7 win. But outside of that, they have had no impressive wins in my book, including that Seattle game where I had Atlanta. They only had 279 yards of offense and racking up 34 points. But here's the key with the New Orleans Saints, which a lot of people don't realize. Ken Crowley has been out in 3 games this year. He's one of their cornerbacks, doesn't get as much attention as notoriety as Marcus Lattimore. But in the 3 games he has been out, opposing quarterbacks have completed 85 of 114 passes, 10 touchdowns, I'm sorry, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick, 75% completion rate. In the games he's been in, it goes down to 55%, 160 of 287, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So clearly Crowley is a difference maker here. The Saints are at full strength on defense, Gabe. Vaccaro is back in the lineup. He sat out a few games at safety, and I just think the Saints are the better team here, and I don't get the line movement.
As you mentioned, too, we got Marshawn Lattimore is going to be back. Marcus Williams, safety's back as well. Good call with you at Crowley. No one's talking about him, but he's a big key to the football team as well. And obviously, I know Ingram's banged up, but Kamara is just a freak. So much fun to watch this kid run and catch the football. Averaging 7 yards per carry, 10.4 yards per catch, accounting for 11 touchdowns. And I look at the Falcons on the defensive side. They're giving up 4.3 yards per rush. They're giving up 113.2 yards a game on the ground. And the Saints are so dynamic now because they've got the potent rushing attack. But if they need to throw the football, oh, yeah, they still have Drew Brees.
Yeah, and clearly when he has to drop back and pass, he's still, even at age 39 years old, he's still a force to be reckoned with. I just think, Gabe, they have too many weapons for this team, and Atlanta has been far from prolific on offense. I have to go with the Saints. I took the Atlanta team total under 27 with Crowley in the lineup. They've only given that up more than that twice. One was the Lion game. They had a 45-10 lead, and, you know, it was all garbage points. And then, of course, in that Redskin game, Lattimore went out after the first series, and Crowley got hurt during the game. Vaccaro didn't play, and, of course, I believe the Redskins torched him for 31 points en route to a loss to New Orleans in overtime, 34-31.
I wish we had more time. We've only got, what, about 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes type thing? Yeah, we got a couple of tie games here. So let me throw the Giants. I know you're a Giant fan. So what a debacle with the McAdoo stuff. So now McAdoo's gone. Jerry Reese is gone. Eli Manning is back in. You're getting 4 points against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Spags takes over. Spagnuolo takes over coaching now. So he's got coaching experience. You know, if you're the Giants, you've shown up on a couple of occasions, but for the most part, you haven't played with very much pride. But once a team gets a coach fired, now it's on for these guys to show up right now. There's no excuses. All right, you guys got a guy fired. He's gone. You got your little precious Eli back. And where I stand with Eli is, I think Eli was mistreated, and I don't think it was right that they screwed over his 210-game consecutive streak. But at the same point in time, I don't think Eli Manning's very good right now. And I don't even think the Giants would have covered last week if Geno Smith didn't play. I think if that was Eli last week, they'd get killed. Geno wasn't terrible, but now you got Eli. Eli's got to show something. Everybody defended Eli Manning like he's like playing great football now or something. He hasn't played good football in a little while. What do you make of this game, Paul?
No, he hasn't played good football, but he's still been a dedicated employee of the New York Giants, who had this great streak, and he did not deserve to be treated that way. So people came to his rescue, and it was a good firing, because McAdoo in that stadium would have been like oil and vinegar. It's just not a good situation. So anyway, I believe the Giants will play inspired football this week. And remember, Tyron Smith has not practiced this week, so they'll be right back where they were during that debacle against the Falcons, where they were sacked 8 times. And, you know, they did have some contingency plans the next week they played. But still, they're not the same team without him. And Scandrick at cornerback is also looking more doubtful, and defensive tackle Irving. They have some injuries. They have not played good football. Heck, I had Dallas last week. You know that, Gabe. We discussed it on the show.
Yep.
But they barely had 250 yards of offense, and it's only because Alfred Morris was able to run it right down the throat of the Washington Redskins. Dallas is not playing good football. The Giants are home. Giants should cover the game.
All right, we got Eagles and Rams, and I'll ask you about Army and Navy on the way out. You're in L.A., so quick, you know what? We got 3 minutes. I'll throw the two L.A. teams at you right now. We got the Rams. Rams taking on Eagles. I like the Rams in this game. And then we got the Chargers and the Redskins. Skins didn't show as much last week, but I don't trust the Chargers laying 6. What's your take on the teams in your backyard?
Well, the sharps are on the Rams. The line opened 1. It's gone to 2.5, yet 68% of the tickets are on the Eagles. Now, I happen to think the Eagles just had a bad game. So I'm in the square corner. And I believe that the Eagles match up well with the Rams. The Rams give up a lot of yards on the ground to running backs. You can run the ball down their throat. The Eagles have a solid corner in Darby. Woods is going to be out again this week, which leaves them basically 2 receivers in Watkins and Kupp. Darby will neutralize one of them. And I believe Carson Wentz will bounce back. He had missed a few passes, but Aguilar was good for over 140 yards of offense last week at the receiver position. And I just think the Eagles are a better team, and they will win this football game. As far as the Chargers go, look, they do not score a lot of points outside of that game against your Buffalo Bills, where they rang up 54 and 28 against the Cowboys, 7 of which were a pick 6. They don't put a lot of points on the board. So am I convinced they will win this football game? Yes, I am. Am I convinced they will cover a 6-point number? No, I'm not.
Army and Navy, finally in closing, you can find Paul's picks over at VegasInsider.com. Army and Navy, and next week we'll talk some bowls. But Army and Navy, Commander-in-Chief Trophy is on the line. Army haven't won this thing since 1996. They beat Navy for the first time last year in 14 years. They're an 8-win football team this year. Navy's a 6-win team, but Navy has played a trickier schedule playing in that conference that they play in. And we should note 11 straight unders in the series. So I know the public's going to be all over the under in this. I'm looking at Army. I think they desperately want this. And I'm a big Ahmad Bradshaw fan. I think the kid's a good quarterback. I think this is Army's time. They beat him last year. I think they beat him again and get the trophy.
The total, and you mentioned it, it opened 54. It's now at 48. And while the number of tickets is just slightly to the low side, 94% of the money is to the under. Why? Since 2005, 29-8 to the under. And whenever the under closes below the opening number, it's been largely to the low side, almost always to the low side, 19-4. So it's big trends going to the low side here, but at 48, the value has been sucked out, and I could see this The total getting close to this 48, if not tipping over, not going to be on it. But I would agree with you. I like Army here. The way to beat the Cadets is simply to throw the football. Their secondary is a little weak, and I do not think Zach Abbey can do that. He has not shown the ability to be a prolific passer, which is what it's going to take here. So I like Bradshaw as well. I think Army gets the job done.
Paul Bovey, always a pleasure, Paul. Hopefully we talk tonight. No promises, no guarantees, but I'll be doing a podcast during the football game tonight, and maybe Paul will join us at the half. We'll see if we can set it up. Always a pleasure, Paul. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Sorry, we're going to take a quick break. Joe Lisi joins us next. College football.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Ted Savransky and Paul Bovey for joining us on the show. Let's bring in Joe Lisi right now. GoForTheTwo.com. Joe, of course, co-host of College Football Today with Rich Sermonello on the Fantasy Sports Network. Joe, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Can't wait till the college football bowl season starts. We have Army, Navy. This is what it's all about, Gabe.
Yeah, I know. I look forward to your bowl preview like I do every year, Joe. And you go through every bowl game, and we'll blast through them as well. You know, one bowl game I'm actually getting excited about is the Ohio. It's funny because I hate Ohio State, but I'm excited for this game. Ohio State and USC. And I see that the Ohio State Buckeyes are 7-point favorites in this game. I think USC are going to beat them outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think the speed of USC, they have the better quarterback in Sam Darnold. And you look at the performance last year against Penn State, even though they won that matchup 52-49, they fell behind early to the Penn State Nittany Lions and Saquon Barkley. I think they're going to look to prove a point against JT Barrett and, more importantly, Urban Meyer. I could see USC dominating this matchup.
All right, so we've got Army and Navy. Navy dominated the rivalry, 14 consecutive wins. Last year, Army finally gets it done. Now they have an opportunity to win a Commander-in-Chief trophy for the first time since 1996. This is only the third time, guys, since 1978, man, okay? Since 1978, only three times the Commander-in-Chief trophy has been on the line in this football game. Army are an 8-3 football team. They're putting up 31.2 points per game, but they're only giving up 21.6. You have Navy, who scored 30.4, but they gave up 29.2. Army's defense has been getting it done, but to counterbalance that, Joe, I would say you can't argue that Navy played much, you know, trickier teams. Navy play a real schedule. You know, they're playing against Notre Dame and Houston, you know, Houston Cougars of the world, etc. You know, Navy play a tough schedule, but I think Army are a better team. Army rushed for 368, Navy 347. What do you make of this football game, Joe? Who do you like?
I like Army. I'm with you. I think when you look at the matchup last year to snap the 14-game losing streak, this team's going to be coming in with confidence. And the one thing I think when you look at Army's production this year, they played Ohio State, they played blue-collar teams like Temple, got that victory. I think this is a team that can pound the football against Navy. And I don't like the fact that Navy's negative in turnover margin. To me, that's a negative statistic heading into this matchup. Throw statistics out the window. Both teams are very equal running the triple option. But I'll take the underdog in the Army, especially looking for two in a row. They believe they can knock off the Navy midshipmen, and I think it rolls this coming Saturday.
I think that I think it's crazy how underrated Ahmad Bradshaw is. The kid brings it, man. I mean, on a weekly basis, he brings it. Listen, Keenan Reynolds was awesome, and that's why they dominated the series. But between Abbey and Bradshaw, Army's got the better quarterback and the better defense. Like, you got a better defense and a better quarterback.
I'm with you. And I think you can go back to that Ohio State game where Army played toe-to-toe from a physicality perspective, especially on the offensive line. Everybody talks about the front seven of Ohio State. Well, Army was able to run the football against Ohio State in the horseshoe. So I think they should have multitudes of running lanes against Navy. Again, this is not the same Navy defense that we've seen in years past. And the fact that negative turnover margin is a major concern heading into a rivalry game.
All right, so Joe likes Army as well. We'll break that down this game on Saturday morning and talk about some of the bowls and coaching stuff that's going on, I'm sure. So we got a couple of minutes left. There's been complete chaos with the coaching stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's out of control. I mean, Willie Taggart's been the head coach of three different programs in 1 year, Joe. 365 days he's been the coach of three teams, South Florida, Oregon, Florida State, in 365 days, three programs. So a big circus around the Tennessee Volunteers, yet they might have gotten a good guy here. What can you tell us about Pruitt, defensive coordinator of Alabama, and is Pruitt going to coach in the playoffs here? How's this going to go down?
Yeah, I would assume that Jeremy Pruitt, even though he probably will become the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, will coach in this game for the national championship playoffs, just the way Kirby Smart did for taking over the reins at the University of Georgia. I can tell you that Jeremy Pruitt is a gamer. He coaches up talent. 3 years ago, he coached up the Florida State defense under Jimbo Fisher. He moved from Florida State to Georgia under Mark Richt, coached up that defense, made a 360-degree turnaround, and then went from Georgia back to Nick Saban and Alabama and has coached that defense up. Not elite talent this year that we saw last year, but he's a great game planner. He's a physical coach that will force turnovers, and that's the one thing in terms of Tennessee's play. This is a defense that's lacking in run support. They were the worst rush defense in the Southeastern Conference, giving up 256 total rushing yards per game. Jeremy Pruitt's a great coach. He's a young coach, understands the Southeastern Conference landscape. I think Philip Fulmer landed on a great hire, even though it came in a 480-degree turnaround.
All right, we got less than a minute here, but at the Heisman Trophy presentation this weekend, they're going to give it to Baker Mayfield. He's a 33-1 favorite to win. Lamar Jackson's plus 1,400. Bryce Love's plus 1,400. But it left a bad taste in your mouth, I saw, Joe, that Rashad Penny was left out and didn't get an invite.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, Rashad Penny, nation-leading rusher with over 2,000 yards, 19 rushing touchdowns, rushed for 276 against Arizona State, 166 against Bryce Love and Stanford. I mean, they won both of those games, and you don't invite the nation's leading rusher to New York is a complete joke. And more importantly, he was left off the Doak Walker Award for the nation's best running back. It's a disgrace. I spoke to Marshall Faulk about it. He feels the same way. The Heisman Trophy has become a joke in terms of the best player for the best team.
Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com is the website. You can follow him, Go For The Two, on Twitter as well. You can watch him Saturday morning at 9 a.m. until noon right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
There's Joe Lisi. We just look forward to talking about all those big bowl games and not-so-big bowl games next week with Joe Lisi. We take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Time for our plays of the day, and I'm actually looking forward to this football game this evening. I don't understand the live movement here, guys. It's a 2.5 right now. If it goes up to 3, all the better. If not, I'll buy the half point. Give me the New Orleans Saints plus the 3 points, man. Come on, man. Kamara and Ingram have combined for 1,243 yards and 13 touchdowns over the last 5 games. Saints defense only giving up 17.9 points per game over the last 10 games. They got Lattimore back. They got Crawley back. They've got Williams back. What's not to like? They're a better team. Give me the New Orleans Saints. They're going to win this game, but give me the points. Why not? The money line's not worth it. Give me the points. Give me the over in this football game. 51, 51 and a half. I think it gets there. 7-point teaser, Saints. Tease to the over. Kamara, man, 97 and a half total yards. Rush and receiving yards. Freaking love this prop. Long field goal over 46 and a half. A little NBA basketball. We've been playing the Jazz, man. Jazz plus 6.5. Give me the Jazz. Give me the Jazz on the money line plus 210. Give me the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz over 209.5 in a puck play. Vancouver beats a Philadelphia team that beat Edmonton last night in Alberta. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.